Toledo from Fox Sports.
This is Jochen Graff.
Hi, I'm Neil Collins.
You are listening to the Unused Substitutes.
The Unused Substitutes.
And you're listening to the Unused Substitutes.
Get off the pitch!
Hey there, little Red Riding Hood, I got a problem.
Ball's going to bounce down. It's three in the box. Bicycle kick! Goal! Rowdies! What a play! What a shot! And it's 1-0 Rowdies!
Good evening, everybody. You're listening to another episode of the Unused Substitutes, live on Radio St. Pete, part of the Beautiful Game Network, presented by Roughneck Scarves. It's time for your Rowdies Talk Radio, for the Green and Gold Gospel. Coming to you from Sarasota, my name is Matt, and on the other end, the homeboy in Largo, the man Google christened the anonymous Dumbo Octopus. Steven, how are you doing tonight?
I am a wild range of emotions. I'm happy about one thing, though. I'm glad we already have what would possibly be the show title tonight. I'm glad we got that out of the way.
Oh, no. I already have a candidate for the show title. It's not even this. This would be a strong second. But we'll get... In fact, I won't even tell you what it is during
okay.
the show.
Well...
But I'll see if you get well, as soon as I typed it, I was like, oh, that's got to be it.
For those at home, he never tells me what the titles are before posting them. So
I honestly I usually don't know until I've am ready to post it. And I'm like, oh crap, what am I calling this one? I was gonna call it the one where Steven gets cut off, but apparently that would just be a scheduled tweet at this point in time.
Yeah, pretty much. Pretty much.
As Patrick just pointed out, the over-under on technical issues, 20 minutes.
I'm good for at least 40.
I'm not saying anything in response.
I had to go there, so it's okay.
I am not saying anything in response.
Self-depreciating humor is my trademark, so it's okay. I'm good with it. Anyways,
there was something else I was going to say. I won't even say that either. All right. So we've got a pretty packed lineup for the show for tonight. And even though it's just us, there's no interviews, there's no special guests or anything. It's just us. We've got some preseason stuff. We've got some roster news. We've got some Rowdies women information. And then we've got some other situations. This is going to sound weird. We all know what the big topic has been in the last, 2 weeks. I'm tired of talking about it. Not in the sense that it's not important. I'm just tired of beating, the same thing into the ground. I don't know. I'm pushing it all the way to the end of the show. We can go over the good news, the fun stuff first, and then we can wallow in a pit of misery and grumpiness afterwards. Hopefully this is a good way to... Of course, we're going to start off talking about two preseason losses, and that's the happy part of the show. Oh, God. All right. Gimmick FC is at it again. We'll get to it. All right, Steven.
Anyway.
Preseason game Saturday. I was so excited to go. And then I made the mistake of planning out with my wife when we were going to purchase a new car, which immediately meant that the car that we were going to replace broke down the next day. Then she had to take my car to go to Tampa. They were at a show up in Tampa. They went to, her and my daughter and my sister-in-law went to go see Mean Girls, and they'd already changed the tickets once, and it wasn't going to be able to happen again. So went to the show, came back, and then we went car shopping. You know, no better time to do something that you can't afford than right now. But hey, we did it. Luckily, it's done. Unluckily, I missed the game. I didn't get to go see the Miami adjacent Beckham United FCs, see John McCarthy again, and a bunch of other guys that we'll probably see maybe an Open Cup if, when Fort Lauderdale AF or whatever they're calling it gets into it. But Steven, you were there. Tell us what happened.
It was you alluded right there. It was not by any stretch the Major League Soccer team. I mean let's be real, it wasn't. There was really maybe one or two players that might feature several times during the season. People like AJ De La Garza. Otherwise, it really was the League Two team. Pretty much, by and large, that's going to probably be a lot of the players that end up playing for the League Two
thing. Are you going to lump the goal scorer? Because he was their top draft pick, right? Like, maybe he has a shot at making the roster?
Well, so keep in mind that even with the draft picks, yes, he will certainly be one of the couple of players that will get minutes, but it's not going to be very consistent, and it's not going to be a whole lot of appearances. You got to remember, these college seasons are so short that even if you include the PDL, you know, summer league, they're not playing a lot of games. So, and especially not stretched out during a calendar year. So as we frequently see, kind of like what we saw with Juan Tejada this past year, you always have this, like, they start off fairly well and then they just disappear as the season drags on. I mean, you see that with just about every sport, right? I mean, that's why, like, Zion Williamson is in basketball is being very much managing the minutes, as it were. That's why you see a lot of football players tend to kind of trail off a little bit towards the beginning. It's why you see sophomore slumps and things like that. I mean, you see this in every sport. So, yeah, I mean, yeah, there's draft picks. There's going to be a lot of young kids. But a lot of what you saw this week from Miami was a lot of the reserves. Now, there's a reason for that, and that's because, again, as we always know, teams play friendlies without announcing it all the time. Did you see the picture with a couple of the guys earlier in the day at Al Lang Stadium? I believe Ben Sweat was photographed with a couple of guys. It's because I think the actual first team guys played a closed door thing earlier in the day at Al Lang.
Interesting.
Is the impression that I might have, because there was two different jerseys on a photograph. I think Ben Sweat was in one of the photos. And it was like, interesting. Okay. So yeah, I got a feeling they actually played a game earlier that day. And that's why we didn't see a lot of the Pizarros of the world and things like that. I think that's the reason why we didn't see a lot of them. So it was worth noting. The game itself was fine, right? Like, we didn't start off the hottest. We gave up a goal in the 21st minute to a player whose name is not known because Miami's not wearing, you know, names on their jerseys. So nobody knows who scored the goal for Miami. But as the game dragged on, smokeless and all, we eventually took control of that game. We had a goal in the 80th minute. It got disallowed by a VAR decision. But we looked, possessionally, we looked strong, especially in the second half.
Two things real quick.
Mm-hmm.
Smokeless.
Smokeless.
Also, the fax department, the fax checkers have checked in, JD on Twitter. For the record, the friendly in the morning on the last Rowdy's game day was announced. I missed it too. It's okay.
I didn't see anything about Miami playing a midday scrimmage the day of the Rowdies game. So that's something I didn't know. Anyways, so here's one thing that's also important. Yes, we played an upcoming game against USF this Friday, but the starting 11 that we saw for the Miami game, I think is going to end up being probably our starting 11 or about 10 of the 11 players that will probably start for us in 2 weeks at New York.
Yeah, that lineout came out, and I was like, okay, this is, because this is, you know, their last game. They played Tormenta FC the day after. That was a mix of mostly reserves and academies and trialists for the Rowdies. And then the USF game this Friday night. But yeah, so this is like the kind of the first, the last test against kind of high-level pro competition. That definitely, I think, is very likely to be your starting lineup.
So for those of you that were not at the game, here's what we were looking at. Matt Lauro in goal. Evan, I think it's safe to say he's our starter. We had Lomas, Lasso, and Guillen as our back three. We've seen that now a couple of times in the preseason. I think it's safe to say without question that those are our three guys going into the season, and I couldn't be happier. I think those guys, they have all shown to be fantastic. The defense has been solid. I don't see any reason why that wouldn't continue starting into the regular season. I think with those three plus the goalkeeper, I think we have a great defense right now. I don't see, when I'm looking at the rosters in the league, I'm not seeing a lot of teams with players that are scary enough to beat those guys right now, especially more than one player. So I think that we are right now going to be a very, very challenging team defensively. Midfield is where things get a little tricky. And I'm going to address this a little bit later in the show, I'm sure, if we get a chance to. But we had Doherty and Hilton and Steinberger playing as the central three midfielders. Now, obviously, you've got players like Adoro in the mix for that. So that's the only real hardcore position that I am just not sold on right now. Because you've got Jan Ekra. You know, obviously we've got more reserve-style players like Mendoza. Domboya, obviously right now, I think it's safe to say that he's probably playing for Johnson right now. Because Johnson's got that sprained ankle. We've seen him walking around the stadium in shorts and things like that. So, like, we know he's got, like, a little tweak. He's not in a cast or anything. So we know this. I got a feeling Domboya isn't taking place of Johnson right now. Now, here's the thing. Domboya looked great. I actually really, really loved what I saw out of Mustafa. He's very quick with the ball. He's very aggressive with the ball. And that is a couple of qualities that are important because it means that the drop-off from Malik Johnson to a Mustafa Domboya is not that bad, which is really important if you're trying to keep up consistency during the course of regular season without breaking up the entire, you know, gameplay matrix of our team. That was the biggest highlight for me coming out of that game, was seeing Domboya in person. Obviously, Fernandez starts on the other side. He looked good. And then, of course, what we were speculating too was what we were predicting, and this is what I actually predicted in the parking lot, is that we would see Gonzotti and Murphy start together up top. So I think right now, if the season started tonight, that's probably the starting lineup. Or at most, you might switch out Doherty with Adoro if you wanted more, you know, veteran presence, especially depending on the opponent, obviously.
Right.
Like against New York, I'd probably put in Adoro, and maybe switch out a Hilton or Steinberger with a Jan Ekra to get a bit more size. But, I mean, I think that's probably at least seven starters right there. At a minimum, I think that's 7 to 8 starters. At a very minimum.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought they deserved at least a 1-1 draw. I mean, we owned the second half. Absolutely, from start to finish. It's just a shame that nobody got to see it because Inter Miami FC decided we're not going to broadcast the game at the last minute. So screw those guys.
To be fair, they are Inter Miami FC, not Inter Miami AV. I had to go there.
That is such a bad dad joke. I'm so disappointed in you, Matt.
There's no such thing as a bad dad joke.
They're all bad, but that's anyways.
All right, so Miami scores in the 21st through Robinson. In the 80th minute, though, the Rowdies have an equalizer marked off due to VAR. VAR was used in the has been used in the preseason games involving MLS teams as kind of a trial system. I got to see some pictures of it, what the setup looked like in the stadium. How I'm out of words today. How close was the goal to being good? What's your opinion of the call, since no one got to see it except the people who were there?
Well, here's the thing. It happened on the opposite end of the field from the supporters. And they called it on a handball in the middle of the craziness. So, yeah, there was no seeing it up close. Yeah, there, it was unfortunate. There's no way to know. I mean, honestly, there's no way to really know.
All right, so I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to mark it off as a bad call, and I'm going to declare that this game was actually a draw. So good job, Rowdies.
There you go. Yay! you see how easy that is? It's just that easy.
It works out pretty good. The next day, Rowdies hosted South Georgia Tormenta FC out of Statesboro, Georgia, with a mix of. You had some first team players who didn't play the night before, or didn't start the night before. You had some trialists who went unnamed. You had some academy players out there as well. Kind of exciting game, even though it was played behind closed doors. Rowdies dropped a 2-3 decision to Tormenta, and we all kind of had some fun on Twitter making some jokes about it. But honestly, if we go back to last season, we traveled to Georgia. We lost to them then, and we went on to have the most wins, the most road wins, the kind of the best record season in club history. So we're good to go. I think this loss cements our place in the Eastern Conference semifinals at the least. I think we've got this locked up. The goal scorers, Lucky Kosana in the 57th minute, Max Lakowecki in the 60th, pushing for an equalizer near the end. Didn't get it, just ran out of time. And then, like we said, there were several young, and we're going to talk some more about young players in a little bit, shortly. Wait a second. We color-coded this script to make this easier, and we've been going completely reversed.
We're running opposite.
Which makes sense, because we're running the way we should be, because you were at the game and I wasn't, and then neither of us were at the second game because it was closed door. So... it makes sense. So
for those of you that aren't following on this, because Matt didn't segue.
Check my Twitter account, because I posted some pictures, and you can see one where there's some green stuff and some gold stuff. And
so I was going to say, in actuality, if you go to Matt's Twitter account tonight, he posted up, "Hey, I'm setting up for the show." And he took some photographs. You can actually load the high quality images and read every word off the screen. That's actually our show notes. And we color code them based on who we think should be saying it, Matt or Steven. And for some reason, when Matt created this today, he put the Rowdies Miami game for him and the other game for me. And it's just kind of looking around like, that doesn't make any sense.
Damn it, I'm not an art teacher. Colors aren't my specialty. I'm still highly effective no matter what. So preseason closes out the official parts of preseason. I don't know if there's any other friendlies or scrimmages or whatever on the cards for the next week or two. But Friday night, the Rowdies close out preseason at USF. Free admission. It was originally going to be a ticketed event, but now they came out yesterday, I believe, announced it was going to be free, no tickets required. 7 p.m. kickoff at the USF soccer stadium, where you can see the trophy that the Rowdies won in 75 for the first NASL Soccer Bowl, the first championship in the Tampa Bay area, the first professional soccer championship won by any team in the state of Florida.
Kings of Florida.
The only thing in Rowdies history that happened before I was born by a few months. So go up and check it out. I might be at a school event that evening. If not, I'm going to try and get up there, but we'll see. I'll know tomorrow whether or not. So we have some signing news, and it's interesting because there's some, I'd say, typical signing news, like the kind of stuff we'd expect to see. And then some atypical stuff that we got wind of yesterday, because there's nothing else floating on the wind anymore, apparently. But we got wind of some new types of signings. Steven, tell us about this, since we're going to go now and follow our color coding.
Hey, we're going to follow the color coding. So we signed Sebastian Delgaard, midfielder, played last season with Hartford Athletic, 27 matches, had 5 goals with 2 assists, 28 years old, so sticking with the theme of the average age of most of our starters, it seems like, this year. Had appearances with St. Louis and OKC Energy before going to Hartford, and also played a couple of seasons in his native Denmark.
Wait, quick question. Let me do some trivia with you real quick. Let me hop in here, interrupt you.
Uh-oh.
Did I type several clubs in his native Denmark in the script because I didn't want either of us to try and have to pronounce either of these? Or did I do it because one of them is called Middelfart G and BK?
Considering that's the one that you can actually pronounce, I'm going with the pronunciations being the highlight there.
Yeah, mostly, but at the same time, I was like, I'm not putting Middelfart in the script. I've now said it twice, so I've, you know.
I'm just saying, it wasn't that one that was the issue.
I need a Middelfart scarf.
Oh, boy.
You talk about these signings for a minute. I'm going to do some shopping and try and find a Middelfart scarf.
It's the internet. You can find whatever you want on the internet. Or you could go to our trusty scarf supplier, Roughneck Scarves, and end up making your own.
Does anyone still have Martin Vingard's number? He could get me a Middelfart scarf, I bet.
So the important thing here, the comments that Neil Collins made, specific about signing Delgaard, was the fact that he was looking for an extra outside midfielder to help carry that load. Now, it's interesting to me that he would make that comment even though DeBoya has, you know, certainly a good game, and it certainly looks good as an outside midfielder and certainly seems capable of it. So who knows how old the quote is, you know, in relation to the official signing of DeBoya. But at the very least, it's another depth on a specific outside winger position, which at the moment does seem to be a little thin. So I'm okay. I mean, it's depth. That's what it is. Him, Mendoza, Lakoweki, these are obviously depth players. These aren't guys that are going to probably be starting every game inside and out. These are more or less training role players to make sure that we're not, you know, undersized for roster spots, which we sort of kind of are in a way, but not really, because, of course, we just signed a buttload of Tampa Bay area teenagers. And I think this is awesome. I don't know about you guys. I am psyched about this. I think this is one of the, I mean, obviously we had 3 of them last year. 2 of them actually had minutes for the Open Cup. This is so good. I'm so excited about what this club is doing for this Tampa Bay area. So, Matt, while I was jumping through that, you were obviously looking at something online because you were freaking out the entire time I was talking there. So what did you find in your shopping excursion?
I still haven't even found a storefront, but I did learn that Middelfart Football Club plays in Middelfart Stadium in the town of Middelfart on the island of Funen. I believe is how it's pronounced. Most notable, it's the first club that Christian Eriksen, now and maybe, I don't remember if a deal got done or not, maybe formerly of Tottenham Hotspur, represented as a youngster. So he is a Middelfart original. They have a pretty clean crest, though. And I'm not going to make any more jokes along those lines at this point. you were just talking about the youngsters, and I'm gonna get off the Middelfart jokes. I can't stop. So four players, two from Tampa Bay United Rowdies, Hayden Morgan and Julio Plata. Both of them participated in the USL Academy Eastern Conference event recently, where the Rowdies won all three games and racked up, I believe it was a plus 14, something like that, goal differential. The other two are Landon Amaris and Femi Ewedesu from, and I'm sure I mangled both those names, for Chargers SC. They've been signed to USL Academy contracts, which allow them to train and play for the first team. They're on the first team roster while still retaining their NCAA eligibility. Ewedesu joined the Chargers last year after growing up in the Philadelphia Union youth system, has been there for a while. Landon has been part of the Chargers system, left last year and spent last year with the Atlanta United Academy. And has come back to the Chargers, has also played for the U.S. Youth National Team at the U15, U17 level. If you're from or you know, knowledgeable about the Bradenton, Sarasota area, his family owns the chain of restaurants called Popey's Place, which is a really good Greek restaurant. So it's kind of cool. Maybe we can get them on as a sponsor. Maybe they'll buy ads. Maybe we can have, like, we have watch parties set already, but maybe we can start doing shows at Popey's Place. It's good food. I'm gonna.
You know, here's a good segue for that. If you want us to do shows, live shows at Pepe's, we're only like $3 a month away on our Patreon from reaching the $100 a month goal.
In which case,
the first thing was more live shows with exclusive Patreon listening.
And we have some. We've already been talking about some ideas for some of that stuff too. We'll come back to that.
Yeah,
we'll come back to that. So, yeah, this is kind of an exciting thing. This is something Neil's been working for, I think, since the day he took over. One of the first things we saw him doing was meeting with some of these youth players and some of the local clubs and kind of setting up these connections. And you know, he makes sure when you talk to him about it to say, look, this is a process. This isn't going to happen overnight. This isn't going to just put itself together. It's going to take time, but they're moving pretty quick. We went from last year where we had guys on the, you know, playing in Open Cup and a kid make the bench in a game to, you know, with a 22-man, you know, really true senior roster and these four guys occupying other spots, it's highly possible you'll see them in some games outside. You might see them in USL Championship games this year. Wouldn't surprise me. Not starting, but, you know, coming in late games or getting time in games where the result is kind of determined one way or the other, hopefully more in our direction. But Neil said about these, he's delighted to put four new players on USL Academy contracts. Each of them has their own strengths, and it's important that we show the elite youth players here in Tampa Bay that we'll provide an opportunity for them. They've already shown this preseason their value to our squad. I should point out, they've all participated in preseason. I think Landon came on. Did both Landon and Femi come on Saturday night against Miami? I know Landon did late.
No, just Landon.
Just Landon. They've shown this preseason their value to our squad, and I'm looking forward to working with them to help make them better. It's going to be a great experience for them, and I'd like to give credit to our senior players for looking after them already and helping them settle in. We mentioned we had guys on the roster last year, Robbie Sornelis and Dan Wintermeyer. Any updates on them? I caught you trying to snack some food in there.
So I did a look as far as digging goes. the important one is that Casey, actually, Jack Casey, which was one of the three Academy players from last season.
Right.
He is in Dartmouth this year, and he did not feature in any games in his freshman season. Robbie Sornelis, I believe, played in half of the games of the season or something like that, or started in half, scored two goals against Jacksonville, had three assists on the year.
And he was at UNF, right?
Say what?
Was he at UNF, am I remembering
yes.
correctly?
Okay. Yeah, he's an Osprey. Yep, up at USF, or UNF, sorry. And so, yeah, he, and if I'm not mistaken, he got elected to his conference's, like, all freshman team.
Okay.
which makes sense since he played in all, you know, all the games. Wintermeyer, I believe, had some limited time. My mind's escaping me where he is collegiately. But, yeah, as far as that was the interesting thing about the media release that came out about the four academy players that we just signed, is that we are expected to see Soren Ellis and Wintermeyer come back and play for the U23s this year. So, you know, obviously, again, it's a college summer league team, essentially. We might use it for rehabbing work, kind of like how we used Keith Savage a few years ago when we had the Rowdies 2 team back in the day, or, you know, back in the day, like 3 years ago. So we're going to see those two guys come back in Rowdy's jerseys. More than likely, we're going to see the four academy players that we just signed today. We're going to see a lot of them for U23 games. So this is all very cool. This is all very good. I'm glad to see we got the two academy boys back for the U23 roster this year. At least, again, expected to play. That roster hasn't been announced or finalized yet, but that's really cool. I'm really glad that they announced that to the media. I'm wondering why the media hasn't really reported any of this news.
Well, they're too busy covering that stunningly exciting XFL team now.
Well, you know what they say, controversy sells papers, and when Clinton Flowers decided not to show up to the team today or something like that, it made all the breaking news in the area because he's a local USF kid, for those out of market listening to tonight's show.
I wasn't even aware of that. Like, that's the only person I've, like, genuinely kind of kept track of on that team because of his time at USF. Now I got something to go back and read later. Other roster news. Malik Johnson has been named to the provisional roster for Canada U23 Olympic qualifying. So, it probably depends on, you know, whatever his injury situation is, if there is one, and where he is in there, whether he'll make the final roster, and then what kind of time he's going to see. But kind of cool.
Yeah, no, good on him. Good on him, because obviously, and that's the thing, right, is that's all based off of work from last season, because he hasn't even played yet this preseason in any minutes, that
right.
is. So the fact that he was able to get onto the provisional expanded roster at the very least, that's really, really cool. Now, that for the timing of this is, I don't think that roster is finalized for several weeks. Like, it's something like another like 6 or 7 weeks before that actually becomes official and things like that. So we're not going to know anything more about that for a long time, probably. But yeah, this is really, really cool. And I hope, let's put it this way. I hope, for the sake of everything, he comes in strong from the little tweak on his ankle. He starts off strong in the season, earns a spot on that roster, and then I hope Canada can qualify for the Olympics, because that would be amazing for us to have another Rowdies player at an international stage.
True, true.
I would love it. I would absolutely love it. I think that would be the coolest thing in the world. Granted, this is all hinging on the fact that we're going to have a Summer Olympics because, you know, coronavirus. So at the same time, maybe I don't want him to go over there because I don't want him to get sick. But, you know, I mean.
Did you see the Red Sox have one of their international prospects quarantined in, like, Fort Myers right now? Because he came from Taiwan.
No, I did.
And showed up to practice. And they said, you know what? Why don't you go back to the hotel for a couple days?
Wow.
Yeah. So he's just kind of hanging out there. All right, so we'll keep an eye on what's up with Malik and let you know as time approaches. We're gonna steal some of Lizzie's thunder a little bit and announce some of the news. Now, I think she told us, at least I saw it from her first, maybe because I was checking my notifications rather than just the timeline. We've got some Rowdies women news. Steven, what is going on with the Rowdies women? Oh, you're just gonna make me do it all. We should note now, this is not technical issues. This is not the audio cutout. This is Steven's eating, and I'm surprising him by trying to make him read things. The Rowdies women, we have the home opener. We have the opponent, and we have the date. It'll be May 24th at Al Lang, free admission versus Florida Sol FC. The full schedule should arrive early next month, according to the team. And then we're still waiting on more info about the, I guess we kind of know the U23 schedule, right? We just don't know the roster just yet is what we're still waiting.
Yeah. U23 schedule is completely out. We've got that in full. And yeah, so May 24th, Florida Soul FC, Rowdy's Women. It's at LA. So from the supporter perspective of things, I'm not aware of what we haven't really decided yet, really, on the, you know, in terms of what the supporters are planning on doing in relation to the women's team yet. If we're going to try and do some sort of rebranded thing, like how, you know, a lot of these clubs have been doing it, where they have like different supporter group names for the different entities. So I don't really know yet. I haven't heard anything out loud as far as any kind of a real idea yet. So I know that there are a lot of people excited about this, though. So yeah, if you have not already circled your calendar, May 24th is definitely one you're going to want to watch. They did start, I'm not sure if you noticed this because it's not in the notations in here, some of the ID camps.
Yeah,
for getting players for that team. That did start this, I believe, this past weekend for identification of players as far as like a preseason camp. That actually has started. So the guys that are a part of that, like, you know, the Dan Tobins and such like that, they are actually already working on putting that roster together and getting players ready for that.
Yeah, so that's pretty cool. That's going to be a Sunday. The Rowdies are away to Charleston the day before. So I know there's going to be, you know, a lot of that's like Skyway's big trip every year. And I know some of the Mob go up there too. So, we'll see, you know, maybe everyone gets back in time if they leave right after the game to come to the next day. I don't know if I'm going to be able to make that road trip this year. I kind of don't think that I'll be able to, although it is Memorial Day weekend. So it's a possibility. We'll wait and see, but
go.
I kind of don't want to miss the Rowdies Women home opener either. We'll see.
Hey, I'm crazy. I'll do both. Because I only do same day road trips anyways. So.
We don't have a time announced for it yet, do we?
For the women's game?
Yeah.
No.
We just know the place. Okay, and the date.
Yeah.
All right. And now we're gonna get into. Actually, hold on. I'm gonna push this other part back. Because I said we're going to do all the good news stuff first rather than everything else. So we'll move that to there.
Fair enough.
You know, one person we hear from occasionally on the show, but we all talk to a lot behind the scenes, the man that runs the website, that does the interviews, that talks to the people, that gets the news, that lets us know like a day in advance who's being signed or what's going down. Jake has put up two good articles on the site. I think were they both today?
Yes.
When I'm at school, I never get to see anything until like after the day's over. So I'm never sure like what's actually from today and what's showing up in my timeline from like 3 days ago. First story up on the website, Jake kind of breaks down behind the scenes how Jordan Doherty's permanent transfer came together. How this happened, some of the details of it. And honestly, now, of course, I'm biased because Jake's one of the best guys that we've ever gotten involved with as a part of this thing. But I noticed the other day that one of the USL like front office writers had quoted a fan podcast. It might have been USL show somewhere in there with, you know, some information about a player. And everyone was like, oh, it's pretty cool that they're, you know, listening or at least keeping an eye and ear on fan created media. Like, here's a story that really I think the league should be trumpeting, because here's a young English kid coming to the States to play. You know, we always hear about, you know, US based kids trying to make their way to Europe, to England or Germany or some of these leagues to get playing time as a youngster. But here's a guy who captained Sheffield United's U19s and U23s. He's a youth international. And he's made the choice at this point in time to make a permanent, you know, last year was a loan, that's one thing. But to make a permanent move coming here and playing in USL Championship, like, that's a pretty, you know, pretty big marker they can be using. And maybe we'll see what happens. And, you know, the story's only out there a couple hours old. The kind of really cool thing I got from it, because I was wondering this when it happened, there wasn't a transfer fee paid. Instead, oh no, where are we at now? Like 41 minutes. We doubled up. Patrick's prediction. We got to 41 minutes, and I've lost you. But the cool thing, I'll just go ahead. We've only got a couple things left, and we'll close. It always happens right when we're getting ready to close out. It's like the like it knows when we're almost done. Maybe the technology is just tired of listening to us. Anyway, there was no transfer fee paid by the Rowdies in the Doherty deal. Instead, they worked out a clause where if the Rowdies transfer him, if they sell him on, that Sheffield would get a portion of the fee, which is kind of a cool thing because it's, you know, it shows you, you know, yes, we're here. They're here to win games too. But with a kid in Jordan's situation, where he's still developing and still hopefully turning into a better player as he goes, that it's in the team's interest to develop him and give him a chance, because then they have a chance to make some money on this deal and pay a little bit to Sheffield too. But, you know, they should get some too for their work with him as well. The other article that Jake put up on the website, he talked to Neil a little bit more in depth about these four Academy signees, what to expect and kind of his point of view on them. So go to the website. It's theunsubs.soccer. We moved to a new web address this year. Check out the articles. Give Jake a follow on Twitter at Jake Nutting. He will be in attendance at the home game. The season opener up in New York. And just a good guy to follow and has some good takes. The last two things, and I guess I'm going to kind of keep it short since we're not going to have a back and forth on this. The merchandise situation at, you know, the store, the team's been operating a store at the stadium and over at Sundial. They announced the other day, I meant to go pull up their tweets just to read off their statement, announced that they were, closing the Sundial store, which that's not unexpected. That's not a surprise thing. Armature Works is taking over Sundial and turning it into an Armature Works, basically St. Pete. The food places are all going to be in the downstairs part. Like, as soon as this deal was announced, it was obvious that that store was going to go away at some point. And now it is. The thing I didn't know or I hadn't heard about until this started being discussed was that the stadium store is being shut down too. That the only merchandise, ways to purchase merchandise is off the website, which people have various opinions of, or in the stadium. They set up merchandise tents in the stadiums on game days. I would have liked to have seen the at least the stadium store continue, even if it was just a game day thing, because it's an option to go in there and get stuff before games. Like, once I get into the stadium, like, I might buy a beer, I might buy some food, but that's it. I'm focused on what's happening there. Also, with the Saturday morning market going on, having the store open is a chance to spread the awareness of the brand, of the club, of the team to people who maybe only come to Al Lang for the market, or, you know, people who are there to. They can, you know, get their fruits and vegetables and their giant waffles with bananas and whipped cream, and then maybe pop into the store and buy some stuff. It's not the thing that makes it seem maybe worse than it really is just the general state of the merchandise situation since the Rays have taken over, outsourced to this third party group, Rankin Rally, who have, for all intents and purposes, completely ignored the situation, have kind of gone back on how they said they were going to operate it with a dedicated person, who, from what I was told, spent next to no time, interacting with the team and, you know, trying to place orders for stuff like purple t-shirts with the club logo on it. Just wasn't something that they, I don't know, that whole part could be done better. And lastly, we talked about the smoke situation last week. Mentioned that the mayor had reached out and said, let's get in touch, let's work something out. Well, that was garbage. Because what the fire marshal wants... go to Ralph's Mob. They put a statement out on Twitter and Facebook. They can go into more detail of it. But what the marshal is willing to do involves a pretty large expenditure of money from the mob and or the team, hiring extra fire department workers, lighting smoke off in certain areas far from the action. I mean, honestly, a lot of people feel like it sounds like it's a just a ploy to get the club to give the city some more money for their fire department. Most people, I mean, the overwhelming majority of people that I've heard or seen or read from on Twitter aren't happy with it. At this point, I don't know what's going to happen, but I'm not getting my hopes up, which really kind of sucks. Steven's still hanging on here, watching him on video, trying to put some stuff in there. You know, some people have directed, tweets and emails and stuff and Facebook comments to Mayor Kreisman, to the St. Pete Fire Department, City Council. Steven pointed out to me earlier, I'm not sure when it was, when she posted it, I'll have to go back and check and see. But City Commissioner Darden Rice, who is a season ticket holder for several years and has been a pretty big supporter of the team, posted something on Facebook about, you know, guess it's not a great idea to light smoke bombs off in a soccer stadium. And when someone asked, you know, why, what's the big deal, I enjoyed it, it's part of the experience, said, well, there have been complaints. Which I hear a lot about this vague, you know, air quotes, there have been complaints. I don't know of anyone who's gone to the mob and complained. I'm sure there's people that have gone to the club. I think part of that situation was involved in the idea of moving the mob closer to the action, putting him behind the goal, getting him out from under the overhang where the smoke could get trapped. There's got to be a middle ground somewhere. Unfortunately, the mayor... and the fire marshal don't seem to actually be willing to talk about this in good faith to involve all interested parties. When the mayor said that they were going to reach out and get everybody together and talk about this, the mayor talked to the fire marshal. They talked to the club. They did not involve the mob at all. The fire marshal came with some misleading and basically totally erroneous info about the smoke devices themselves, claiming that they burn at a temperature of 800 degrees, which is amazing because if you look at all the pictures of people holding smoke bombs, I don't know how any of them are alive today. So either you've got a case where this guy is being intentionally misleading or is unwilling to listen to or review the data, review the stuff the mob was willing to share with them to test out one of the actual devices. It's a complete stonewall, and it's frankly kind of pathetic and disgusting, in my opinion, from the city of St. Pete to operate this way. That's it. I don't know if anything will change. We'll let you know if anything does. Anyway, let's wrap this up because I'm tired of ranting about it. I'm starting actually to like feel myself get angry, and I hate that. We love yous. I'm going to send mine out this week, and I'm going to take over Stevens as well. We're going to send him out to the four youth players, the four locals signed to the Academy contracts. It's great to see you guys get this chance, get this opportunity. Hope to see you make the most of it. Looking forward to seeing you guys get into a game and have an impact as well. Like to also thank Wolfface for the theme music, Radio St. Pete for the platform, Shamrock for everything they do for us. Thank you guys for listening. Please continue to share, subscribe, rate, and review. Let people know about us. If you'd like to support us on an ongoing basis, you can go to patreon.com/unusubspod. Anything from $1 a month to $10 a month or whatever you want is available. Every little bit helps. Keep these bills being paid. I live in a I'm half of a two-teacher household with a 12-year-old daughter, and we just had to buy another car. I'm not saying this is all going away this month, but it could happen. No, it won't. I'm just kidding. But if you'd like to, go to patreon.com/unusedsubspod. Thanks to our sponsor at Roughneck Scarves, the official scarf supplier to MLS, USL, and U.S. Soccer. Get custom scarves for your group or team at roughneckscarves.com. If you're tired of the same old uniform and cookie-cutter templates from Nike and Adidas and you're looking for a unique, completely custom kit for your youth club, Sunday League squad, adult, or even pro team, Icarus FC can help you create the kit of your dreams at an affordable price. Let them help you design your new custom kit today at IcarusFC.com. That's it for tonight. I thought this actually would go over an hour with all the stuff we had, and even assuming that you were going to get cut off at some point, Steven, but we've made it in under 60 minutes, which is nice. Thank you guys for listening. We'll be back next week. I'll be around longer than Steven because that's what happens. Thank you guys for listening. See ya. The radical there, the radical there, they get the wall around.